Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball, also blogging at Marion, Massachusetts, and Harumph. This is an unusual day, of course. There's been a lot of that. And I'm going to be traveling, so I may or may not have shows in the next 2 weeks. If I run across somebody just fascinating, I'll do something. You can check at leftahead.com or my Twitter feed, which is at Word, WHIRRED. I'll certainly put a tweet up about any shows I do in the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, there are many things to do, and there's the, you know, bad cops, terrible cops, Baltimore riots, lots of things to cover, lots of things to talk about, but I'm fascinated with the SCOTUS hearings last week on the same-sex marriage. And it's been a long, long time coming. But then again, it came very quickly once it started. So I guess people get tired of hearing me say how, you know, I was naive about thinking this could move along fast. I was thinking 10 or maybe even 20 years down the road. But it's been 2 years since this thing still really started rolling. So here we come. And I'll put it up front. I fully expect a 5-4, maybe even a 6-3 vote in favor of allowing same-sex marriage. And that's one of the two things that the Supreme Court is considering related to that issue. And if that passes, the second one won't be necessary. It'll be moot. The second part is that if they decide that there is no fundamental right for gay couples to marry, then the second part of their decision is on a case that ask that states use the full faith and credit and comity, and the what they do for everybody else, like even driving license, they honor the laws of another state. So you'd think that would be not an issue, but it's a big issue. In fact, what I expect to happen is that for the Supreme Court to come out, and when this decision is announced in mid to the end of June, I expect a decision for same-sex marriage, and you can be sure that when that comes down, that the many states will be out there trying to figure, how can I screw this up? What kind of little tricky laws can we put in to make this awkward or impossible for people, or make them at least sue so they have to go through a lot of trouble to have their marriages recognized, to be on death certificates, to be able to visit people in hospitals, to do all the things that you, just to be as nasty as possible. So we can expect that, and we can also expect state politicians to jump on and see this as an opportunity. They're going to say, this is lost, but I can come out a winner by saying I am opposed to this and I will fight it, and I'll look like a hero to the right-wingers in my constituency, and nobody gets hurt, and I don't have to do anything. No laws are going to be passed, but I can look like, you know, the same jerk they want to be. So I expect that to happen, and look for it. Count on it. So it's fascinating. Is if you really are into this, as I have been, you ought to go out to the many sites, newspapers, and websites that are carrying full coverage of this and some of the stuff that was online, the audio. And it is kind of astonishing just to hear the Supremes acting out. Oh, I should say, if anybody's listening at this odd time or odd day, I'll take calls today on this. If you want to call 213, guest call in 718-664-6966. That is area code 718-664-6966. Just don't block your call number. I don't take calls that are blocked, private, anonymous. So anyway, here we go. But you can check the audio. It is really fascinating. And Thomas, of course, is a dummy, and he doesn't say anything. He's not saying anything in this case either. He's hardly uttered a word the entire time he's been on the bench. He's got to be the stupidest Supreme Court justice we've had, certainly in my lifetime. Anyway, but then Alita and Scalia are clearly anti-gay marriage, and they're going to do what they can to goof it up. So they ask stupid questions and said inane things. we have the most of the other justices, the four left-leaning ones, including, I think you got to say Kennedy. He's been a big factor in the DOMA decision and Lawrence versus Kansas and regard towards Texas. And he was, you know, a key player, and he's a little socially conservative, but when it comes down to human rights, he's right out there, and he, you know, he comes down on it. So I expect him to, he may be the swing vote. On the other hand, Roberts isn't really showing his cards, and you know, he has more of a legacy mind than a lot of the other people, and all, particularly the other three right-wing justices. He, you know, clearly knows that America is going for same-sex marriage, and it approves it already. And I think he may very well want to be in on the right side. And more than that, as the Chief Justice, he gets to pick who writes the majority decision if he's in the majority, and that should be he. He's the senior there. Now, if he doesn't do that, if he doesn't go with him and it's a 5-4, then Kennedy is the likely person to write the majority decision, which might be a little lukewarm because he's less likely to write a very definitive, strong statement that makes it clear how states should implement this and behave themselves. So I think if Robert comes down for approving nationwide same-sex marriage, I think his majority decision would be a stronger one and harder for states to goof around with. So that would be my ideal. It would be a 6-3, and Roberts writes the strong decision. So anyway, we had this thing where there was an amazing number, I think 45 amicus briefs. It was a huge amount. And most of them were in favor of same-sex marriage. And it's no big surprise. But those who were opposed didn't have much. They really didn't. There was recently The Daily Show ran a piece on it. This is all you got? Seriously? And they really don't have much. And they're not legally bound and not legally grounded. And I got to say, you know, if you're looking at it and you're being an objective judge, which they're supposed to be, you'd say, that's the best they can do. So there was a, from Michigan, their big legal guy there, John Bursch, handled the argument, and they gave him lots of time. They gave him an extra full 45 minutes just to spout off. And he was repetitive and didn't say a whole lot. And what he did say was pretty lame, and he was eviscerated. His arguments were eviscerated by the left-leaning judges. They just couldn't believe that he was coming off of this stuff. He came off strongly. You know, Michigan wants to support its ban, and it's saying it's marriage is for procreation. So that's the way we ought to look at it. And if those queers can't make their own babies, well, then they shouldn't get married. Justices were all over that. I mean, obviously, even Kennedy years ago, and I think it was in Lawrence, and he said that, you know, that Scalia was noting that there's no nothing forbidding old people or infertile people from getting married. And he was right in there. That was when he was predicting that in fact, there would be same-sex marriage in the United States. So he was out there. And that's what it is. It's, you know, the argument that marriage is not for procreation. And Bursch is out there, well, you know, we're running out of care about the emotional side of it. If people say they love each other, isn't that swell? But, you know, the vast majority of people are not in the procreation business. Either they did it early or, like the majority, they don't want to have kids or they can't have kids. There are millions and millions of Americans who are either infertile or one of them is infertile. Or they've tried and tried and tried, they cannot have children. And a lot of people just simply don't want to. And there's nothing that forbids them. In fact, we've had arguments here in this case where Bursch had to admit that it would be, you know, violating their privacy if you came in and said to people when they came for their license, do you intend to have children? Because then the answer would be, you don't have children, no, you can't get married. And that's not going to happen. So it kind of dulls the whole argument, and it isn't really what a marriage is about either. And then Bush also played the other things, as a few of the other arguments were for the anti-marriage equality side, were that marriage has been like this for millennia, which is totally untrue. And I'm sorry that the left-leaning people didn't come down harder on that one. Now, there was two Supreme Court justices kind of bought into that, including Kennedy. And he said that thing. When you get into that thing where people are saying, well, you know, this is the way marriage has been for thousands of years. It isn't at all. And we ought to get over that. And we ought to stop using that word. And we ought to stop doing that silliness of saying you're redefining marriage. Marriage has been fluid for thousands of years, long before there was actually a legal or even a religious ritual. Marriage has been many things, and it's been polygamous, in a few places polyandrous, and polygynous we should use. That's still in Quranic followers and in much of Islam. A man can have up to four wives. Now, a woman can't have more than one husband, but a guy can have up to four wives. So there, you know, there's that form out there. And our biblical patriarchs that we shared with Islam had numerous wives and concubines, and they were required to marry their brothers' widows and all kinds of stuff. So it wasn't one man, one woman. And then that really wasn't the case for the longest time. And then when the Europeans and the English started having more formal, regular weddings, it wasn't, you know, a love bond between one man, one woman, until death do us part. It was a contract. It was a transfer of wealth. The woman actually was, enthralled to the man and couldn't do anything on her own. And it was like families getting together. And even the poorest people, it was, how do we transfer the wealth? How do we take care of estates when people are dead? And it really wasn't what we're calling marriage now in our day lives. Well, that was really, you know, more like Civil War and later, and, you know, after the First and Second World Wars, when it was like, you know, the ideal. Marriage has been very fluid and has changed a lot. And yes, it is true that for a lot of times the ideal was one man and one woman. But there's nothing that says it can't be otherwise, and there are places that it has not been that. And in our own cultures, it hasn't always been that. And we have all these wacky things, like, you know, in Roman Catholicism, you can't remarry if you divorce unless you get an annulment, which is, you know, basically a pay-to-play thing. And in Orthodox Judaism, you need a contract with the wife saying, yeah, I will allow this. And it's, you know, it's a big deal and puts our normal alimony and child support procedures to shame in its complexity. There are lots of different things going on. And there are, you know, many cultures where it's typical for a man to have one or more mistresses. And, you know, there's lots of stuff, and it's not quite so simple. So to say you're redefining marriage, well, our society constantly redefining marriage, and it has for millennia. So, yeah, it is kind of like that. And we have the same people who do that, say other things. They're the ones who refer to a homosexual lifestyle as though, you know, I mean, it's, you could say a heterosexual lifestyle. I mean, if people choose to be sexual with someone of the opposite cisgender, well, okay, that's the thing. That's a choice. But just to denigrate homosexuals by saying that's their lifestyle, you can be sure that somebody who doesn't have a lot of wit. In fact, that most of the arguments on John Birch's side and the others in anti-gay, anti-marriage equality were pretty much in that it's only common sense. Let's not reinvent the wheel. And again, as I've said many times, when I hear those, what the real message is, I don't have squat. I'm going to make unsupported assertions, and I don't want to be challenged or questioned because I'm just going to say this is the way it is. And frankly, it isn't the way it is. And luckily, at least three of the left-leaning judges were all over this stupid argument. And, you know, Bush and his chums didn't have much to say. So he'll go through the process. I do recommend tracking down some of the audio and listening to some of it, because some of it's very amusing. We also have the scare, paranoia, panic tactics, and they try that in Massachusetts when first New Hampshire had the civil unions, and then Massachusetts says it's same-sex marriage, and the anti-gay types are just saying, oh, this is the end of the world, it's Chicken Little things, everything's going to collapse, or, straight people aren't going to get married, my marriage is going to be worth anything, and it's all jive, total jive. And this time it's going to be more of the, the clerics are going to have to perform same-sex marriage against their will. This is going to be a total violation of the First Amendment, and not only is that not true, and it isn't legal, and they have always been protected, and they continue to be protected, and they're well covered, and there's state laws as well that allow them to say yes or no to anything. They don't even have to marry people from different churches. Much less, we don't like your gender, so we're not going to do that. They don't have to do that, and there's none of that going on. And it's the same thing they're saying, well, if you pass this law, then those gay people are going to be able to sue the ministers and the churches and put them out of business, and it's just going to – it doesn't happen. It isn't happening. It's never going to happen. And what you hear with the anti-gay types is, well, maybe it hasn't happened yet, but just wait. What we've been seeing is – the anti-gay types are saying, like the Hobby Lobby thing, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to serve these people. I'm not going to obey the public accommodation laws. I want a religious exemption for everything. It's the other side. It's the anti-gay side who's hampering, harming, hindering homosexuals. And that's what we're seeing. And they get some legal support, which is kind of a shame, because they ought to be tromped on. Immediately. That's just like if they want to have a public business, okay. But the churches and the clerics are protected. Got it. It's done. It's in the First Amendment. We've always done that. We've always going to do that. It continues and will continue. So we're not going to have a panic, but they're going to lie about it, and we can expect that. And we can expect that in the various states that are going to be forced into same-sex marriage enablement after the decision. We're going to expect lots of extra laws claiming to protect the clergy when they are, in fact, totally protected. Unnecessary, redundant laws. But the politicians are not stupid about that. They know that they can play that in the next election, and they can say, see, I stood up. Even though those evil gay people can get married. I stood up against it, so they can play that game, and they will. So we can expect that to go on, and a lot of it, I would imagine. Alrighty. What else is going on with them? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mary Bonato, who the chief lawyer who argued the DOMA case and has been was a big leader in the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court enabling of same-sex marriage, noted that delaying this, which is what I think Kennedy would really, really like, is not to have to deal with this immediately. He'd like to have a couple years. He knows it's coming back, but he'd like to hide from it. But, she pointed out that, not acting actually harms the gay individuals and couples, and there are many things they can't do. And it's a real destruction, and it's real all the time, and it violates their rights under 10th and 14th Amendments, and you've got to do it. So I don't think he can hide from that one, and I expect that to factor in his decisions, because I think he truly wants to hide, and it's not going to happen. So what else is going on? Oh, yeah. Now, Alito, Justice Alito is another one, and he wanted to claim that marriage is to provide a lasting bond between a man and a woman for protection of the children. I mean, I don't know where he gets this, but this Kagan was all over this procreation-centric view of marriage, and she did not see where he was coming from and how he could possibly justify it. There's no legal justification for it, but it's his right, and he was the one out there. He's another one of those things, millennia, just think about what's been happening here, redefine. That's crazy talk. So that's why I think they're going to be at least three on the bad side, maybe four if Roberts does or doesn't have the guts. But it's, you know, this argument that it has to be for procreation. You have to have a natural mother and father who have given birth to this child, who've created it, for there to be a lasting family. It's just crazy talk. I mean, we have, you know, a huge number of infertile families. They adopt. They use IVF. And it's a terrific insult to the children as well as the parents to say that theirs is anything less than a full parent-child relationship. And it's crazy. And it doesn't work. And you have millions of examples in the United States. So I'm just hoping that maybe Kennedy and maybe Roberts can both come off and just say, okay, enough of this. This is craziness. And then, you know, Bush also pulled out the old let the people vote. It's not a democracy unless people vote on everything important, all the policy decisions. And that is also craziness. I mean, we're not supposed to be voting on the rights of others. And it delays things remarkably. And we know that the general public tends to be more conservative on social issues. But in this case, you know, if you were to let the people vote in the nation, the vote would apparently be like 60 or 65% in favor of same-sex marriage. Maybe in an individual state where they might do that. But the other argument was, of course, states' rights, doing with democracy. It's like, you know, you got to say, well, you know, the states have always defined marriage, so that's where it's going to go. But, you know, there was a consensus on that, so that wasn't really a big deal. And you get down there, and it's not the case at all. So the states have lots of rights, and they're doing their things. But, you know, say a state decides that, what is it, who was that one? Ginsburg came up and said, say, what if a woman who's engaged turns 55 and is reached menopause and can't have kids, does that mean that we should dissolve her marriage because she's no longer capable of procreation? Maybe her husband, her 72-year-old husband, could still manage a few sperm and theoretically father a child. So should she not be allowed to stay married? I mean, it's just, you see the absurdity of the anti-gay groups, and they're trying to pretend that they're protecting this or that, or looking out for the longevity of the nation and the health of families, and that's not it at all. They just want to hurt gay people, and that's just too much. So I'm saying, and I'm betting, that we're going to be in favor of same-sex marriage, and the second point about recognizing the legal marriages, same-sex couples performed in other states and other countries will be recognized. That'll be moot. So it's not going to really be an issue. So I'm saying it's going to happen, and I'd bet on it. And I think that Kennedy is going to squirm, and I'm hoping that he's hoping that Roberts come on his side so Roberts can write the decision and he won't have to be identified forever as the author of this, although he should, and he should be proud of it because he's been the swing vote on important gay rights issues, and he should own this one. But I think he'd like to get out of it, and it's going to be a bitter cup that comes to his lips. And I think when it comes down to it, Roberts is going to be on the fence, but Kennedy is going to be with it. So I don't know whether it's going to be 5-4 or 6-3. But I'm saying, yeah, finally, same-sex marriage will be legal in the United States, and then the worms and carrion animals can go out there and try to goof it up as best they can, but it's not going to work. And they won't give up, by the way. You know, people still haven't given up on Roe v. Wade. It's been, 42 years? And they're still fighting that. So the plug nasties will not give up, and they'll always say this is terrible, but then, you know, at some point, they'll all die, and that'll be done, and it'll be gone, and that's that. So that'll take a while. That'll take the 20 years I was thinking about it. So it's a good day, but I, the end of June can't come soon enough for me. So again, I'm not sure we'll have a show in the next 2 weeks. Do check in at leftahead.com or particularly at my Twitter site, Twitter feed at Word, W-H-I-R-R-E-D. And thanks for listening. Goodbye.